a recess, go in for public hearings.
Second.
Have a motion, a second, to come back in for public hearings. Any question on the motion? In favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Mr. Rutt.
Thank you. We're here today for public hearings on three applications which have been filed for conditional uses and on an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications or on ordinance considerations such as this, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner that's requested by the applicant. I will announce each application. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made a part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will then be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting that application. Council may question the applicant and any witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will then be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing record will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, to the podium right here, and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make your statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. And if you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made a part of the record. You're not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, a pager, beeper, or any other telephonic device with you, please take the time right now to turn it off or to switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representatives will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission has deferred action, council will do otherwise. So we will now go to the first public hearing, which is on conditional use 1886, filed on behalf of Clarence A. Edgins III. And this is an application. Let's get my papers together here.
Want me to read it, David?
Sure. That's great.
It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR, general residential district, for HVAC business and multifamily dwelling structure, proposing two units to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.37 acres, more or less, lying northwest of Road 305, also known as Hollyville Road, 3,330 feet south of Road 48, also known as Zor Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on April 14th of 2011. The applicant had provided with his application a survey of the property, which depicts the location of paved driveways, the dwelling on a premise, and the existing shop garage building. We received comments from DLDOT, which referenced that a traffic impact study was not recommended. We received comments from County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, which referenced that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service. The commission was advised that the site received a violation notice on January 29th of 2010 for the operation of the HVAC business, and that the applicant immediately came forward and started the application process. During the public hearing, Clarence Edgins was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to leave the record open to allow counsel to research the deed restrictions and to report back to the commission with its findings. On April 28th of 2011, the commission again discussed the application under old business. Mr. Robertson advised the commission that he had reviewed the deed restrictions, that restriction number four references that, and I quote, no commercial activity can be engaged in except for an in-home office and only then with the approval of all governmental agencies that regulate same. It also referenced prohibited is the storing or working on of stock or race cars. And that restriction number two references that the property shall not be subdivided. And Mr. Robertson also noted that the commission should move cautiously when deed restrictions exist. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend denial of this application based on the restrictive covenants that prohibit commercial uses on the parcel. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of council, I think Mrs. Deaver has already passed down copies. I did pass down copies of the survey of the property as described. I also received an additional comment from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum. It was received on April 19th of 2011. There is one soil type on this site. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas, no tax ditches affected. It would not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and it could be some necessity for on-site drainage improvements if the improvements or the disturbance of the ground was exceeding a certain square footage, typically 5,000 square foot of disturbance. And that's all I have. Thanks. Chef, question.
You know what brought about the complaint? What caused the complaint? Was there a complaint that created the violation?
I believe so. I have a copy of the violation, I believe, on this one. Typically, they are based on complaint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that here, I don't believe.
Okay. Just said it wasn't properly zoned for it.
Yeah, we have two of the applications there within the same subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Is the applicant present? Sorry, you want to come up front?
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Clarence Edgins. I live at 24436 Hollyville Road, Millsboro. I am the applicant and owner of After Hours Heating and Air. We put in an application that really wasn't, I wasn't trying to, I guess, do anything. I'd put a sign on the front of the building when we put it up, came by, turned in. I was actually told some paperwork would be turned in for me, but evidently didn't get done. As soon as we did get notice to turn in paperwork, we did so. We have been running the business there for about 4 years. Just had a few things to add into consideration that I just rode around to look at what businesses were in the area near me. And on the road there, there's two landscape companies. There's a grocery store, daycare, transmission shop, boat mechanic shop and storage, tree cutting service, plumber, and horse boarding. This is all within about 3/4 of a mile from my house. Also, the 172 acres plot that is adjoins my property is being considered for a housing development. The 15 acres that adjoin me are for sewer management, which there would be no houses actually next to my property. It would be 15 acres of sewer management for the development. So just in consideration of this.
What seems the big hang-up is the deed restriction. Is that
That's correct. I did not realize the deed restriction until I left and sort of researched it a little bit better.
How many lots are in this subdivision you're in?
It's really not a subdivision. What it did was it took a Hollyville Road and they divided it, I think, into about six plots or parcels.
Right.
Okay, of 4 to 6 to 8 acres. I have a feeling when they did this that they did it on. They actually have in there that you cannot have over two dogs that have to have
right. Well, yeah.
As a high end development or area, they were looking for houses probably in the $700,000 range. What has been put there is just average size houses, average size yards. A lot of people that moved out there seem to have their own business and are working from it. We're not bothering, I think, anybody there.
Okay, but you're a part of a subdivision of large lots.
Yes, I guess
right,
so. I'm
right,
not, okay. I'm not
large,
quite understanding.
Okay, you're right, okay, but you're part of a subdivision because it says your lot number. Well, what is it? Where I had it right here in front of me. Sorry,
your lot number one.
Lot number one, and how many, Lawrence? Maybe you can fill us in and tell us. Give us a little update on the subdivision, and maybe some.
The subdivision was developed by Country Trails Land Company.
Okay.
I believe that's Ronald Moore's company. I think it is.
Okay.
What we see on the tax map, you can see there's five. I don't know if there's any more south of that or not, but there's five parcels. There are four. Your parcel is 4.3. The next one's four. The next one's six. The next one's not noted, so it's on a different map. But there's at least five parcels. And the restrictive covenants was only referenced that it's recorded somewhere, which happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do that, you really don't know where they are. So in this case, we did get a copy of the deed and found that there was a reference to a deed book 2059, page 196.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking at that, we found, and I provided Vince copies of it, with a copy of the restrictions that he read.
Mm-hmm.
Then we realized that the restriction in reference to commercial activity existed, and we also saw this no subdivision clause was provided, which means the intent was that it be one single family home there, not that it be subdivided or additional homes built on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been that his
like many estates, they were kind of like
yeah. Well, I think Mr. Moore developed as Country Trails Land Company, also developed Fieldwood Farms behind you, which is a subdivision, and most of those are modulars, I believe.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he developed the subdivision as one off of Zor, and then he developed the larger tracts, 4 to 6 acres, off of Hollyville Road.
Okay.
Same developer. Now, the commission didn't seem concerned about your application other than the deed restriction.
Mm-hmm. Correct,
If you could somehow get the six or whatever number of owners there is within that subdivision to agree to amending the restrictions, and then went back to the original the developer that created it, then it probably possible that it could be lifted. I'd have to refer to David on that.
Yeah.
But there's a method where you can change restrictions that by agreement of the parties involved.
Right.
Yes, that can be done.
And there's how many lots in this one? There's only, like you said, five.
The only thing I see is five, but there could be more. I don't have a copy of the subdivision. I only have a copy of the survey, but
okay.
It shows five, 1 through 5 on the tax map.
Is that something, sir, you think you could? Because sure. We're not going to do it.
Right, sure. No, that's not a problem.
It's something you could possibly pursue, because we don't have to take action on this.
Right.
Right.
No.
I mean, is it something you think could contact your neighbors in this subdivision and see if there's any willingness to lift that deed restriction? Because private deed restrictions mean something.
Correct. Actually, I know my neighbor.
Personal belief is I don't think we as a government body should be lifting private deed restrictions when... The intent is this, right? So, we're kind of got that kind of issue going on here. So,
sure, that's
okay.
No problem at all.
Okay,
I just looked at the survey for the other application today, and this is number five, and it shows another ownership on the far side, so there's only five.
Only five lots. Okay, so that maybe makes it easier than
correct.
A lot of things. Okay.
Yes, sir.
To the if the applicant or if the applicant does that, he would need to get a written document that can be recorded,
right.
Evidencing that all of the parties are in favor of the amendment to the deed restrictions.
To the deed. Okay.
So I would suggest you talk to an attorney to help you draft that so that it gets into a proper form for recording and what has to be done.
Sure. And that way we can maybe let this lay, you know, lie for a while on the shelf and give you an opportunity to do something like this. And so maybe...
Yeah, I'll get right on it.
I don't know if the restrictions... It could be that in dealing with the developer that developed both projects, the restrictions may interrelate with that Fieldwood Farms behind it, so there may be more people involved than just yours.
Right.
But I don't know that for sure.
15-foot buffer that we can't, on our property, actually, I just noticed that we can't have to leave a buffer there of woods and can't do anything between Fieldwood Farms and us. Mm-hmm.
That's why I suggested he talk to an attorney.
Exactly right. And do the research.
Look at the whole picture of it.
Right.
Sure.
Okay, you can continue if you had anything else to add. I was just going to throw that in at this point. Instead of hearing a lot more of testimony, we could...
We
could just leave the record open, right?
Dave, you would have to leave the record open to
And for a reasonable length of time, probably 90 days or something, we'll hopefully that you can maybe... get back to us or something, or talk to somebody. Communicate with Lawrence if you're having a problem or it doesn't look like it's going to happen. If you get one person could stop everything in its tracks, correct?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, typically most restrictions have a certain percentage of clause where they can amend a restriction, but it's really short set of restrictions, so it's probably pretty binding unless the developer lets them.
Okay. All right, so that's kind of...
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything further, sir?
Do you have the developer's name? I noticed you said that here. I don't mind if I ask them.
Yeah, well, the developer was?
It was Country Trail Land Company. Uh-huh. And I'm pretty sure, I can't guarantee it without pulling some records, but Country Trail Land Company, I believe it's Ronald Moore. He has an office on Route 30 just north of Wilson's store. You know where Wilson's store is?
Yes, sir.
It's probably a quarter mile to the north on the east side. The office at his home.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that's who it is. And it'll say so out front if that's right.
What they did years ago is went out and bought a lot of large parcels and then subdivided them and put them into these 5-acre and less or something anyway, like these little mini farms or whatever. And they were actually very successful in doing that. So they've got quite a few of these subdivisions around the county.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition? Hearing none, Mr. Vincent.
Okay, we can close the public hearing and leave the record open, if that's what you want to do, for a period of time to get... information back. If that's
right, we'll just leave it kind of open. I think if we could, then there could be some opposition. So if the record could accept pro and con information, if we leave the record open, correct?
Okay.
If you leave the record open on the issue of the deed restrictions, mm-hmm. then you could hear both sides.
Okay.
You could close the record for purposes of what has been presented today, but leave it open for that sole purpose.
The record's open for written comments. Or are you just going to let the council make a decision based on the change in the restrictive covenants? It could sit there forever if you did that, unless you give it a time.
Yeah, you should put a time frame on it.
Well, that's what I said earlier. About 90 days would be sufficient, I would think.
Yeah, you could leave it open, say for 90 days for receipt of written comment, either pro or con. Regarding the deed restriction issue.
And if he gets in a snag and his 90 days are up, he can always come in and ask for a little.
I'll make that motion as referenced by Mr. Rutt.
Second. We have a motion and a second to we're going to close the public hearing but leave the record open for written comment in reference to the deed restriction
for issue 90 days.
For 90 days. Mm-hmm. Any question on a motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion.
May I read what I wrote down just for clarity, please?
Okay.
Sure.
Leave the record open for 90 days for receipt of written comments, either pro or con, on the restrictive covenants. Yes. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, yep.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Our next public hearing is conditional use 1887, filed on behalf of Mayola A. Clark. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a monument sales and display to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.2 acres more or less, lying south of Route 24 and east of Swan Creek, approximately 2 miles east of the town of Millsboro. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on April 14th. For the benefit of council, I passed down a copy of a survey of a portion of the property showing the existing dwelling structures and the sign and display area for the purpose of displaying monuments or tombstones. We did receive comments from DLDOT. Traffic impact study was not recommended. The current level of service is E at this location.
E.
We also received comments from County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. This site is located in a recently annexed into the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. When sewer becomes available, connection to the sewer is mandatory. It must occur within the first year of service. It's not scheduled yet for providing sewer service. Mayola Clark was present and testified on her behalf. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1887 from Mayola Clark for monument sales and displays based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant has stated that the use has been in existence for more than 20 years. Signs have changed, but the basic use has remained the same over the time period. Two, the use is performed by the applicant in her home and is very nearly a home occupation. Three, this conditional use will not adversely affect any neighboring properties or roadways. And four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to the applicant's business of monument sales and display. B, the final site plan shall show the area designated for monument displays. There shall be no more than 4 monuments on display. No monuments are to be displayed in the front yard setback. C, 1 lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet in size shall be permitted. D, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements. E, the hours of operation shall be between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. or by appointment. And F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For benefit of council, we also received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. It was received April 19th of 2011. There are 3 soil types on this small parcel. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices if there was to be any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It will not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and it is not likely that there will be a necessity for any on-site drainage improvements due to the intended use. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Thank you. Is anyone here on behalf of the applicant? Yeah, if you want to come forward, state your name and give the reasons for the application.
Okay. My name is Mayola Clark, and you need my address? It's 28951 John J. Williams Highway, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966. The reason that we applied for this, we previously had a sign, and Mr. Lake already spoke of that, that had been there for 20 years. We subsequently put another sign up, but nobody complained. However, when the third sign was put up, which was the same size almost as the second sign, somebody complained. So that's why we're here. So, you know, I mean, nobody, and people ask, you know, what happened to the sign? Mm-hmm. The sign's been there since, you know, forever, at least 20 years. So that's the reason that we're here. And other than that, I can't add another thing. I did have a picture before, but I didn't bring it. It's in my car. My husband said not to bring it in. You know, I listened to him. I listened to him this time, yes. Yes, this time. But other than that, that's, you know, I don't think I have anything else to add to it.
Mrs. Clark was, I will say, a sales representative for a monument sales company.
Yes, for 20 years. My husband and I both. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you switched companies.
We stopped working for that company. We started our own company. We were in that for about 2 years, and then because we couldn't get anybody to put the stones down at a reasonable time, we decided to go with another company, William Sipple out of Milford. So that's, I think, what caused the problem. It was like two companies that were fairly good size that were competing, and because we had worked for one and changed, then I think somebody got angry and tried to, you know, get even. That's the way it seems to me, because they didn't complain with the second sign.
If she didn't have the display outside, just sold by her from her catalog, basically, she could have had a home occupation. But since she had the display and the sign and the size of the sign created the problem. Okay. So to correct it, she's applied to remedy the situation.
With the sign?
She could have a 6 square foot as a home occupation, okay. But her sign is about 30, a little bit less than 32 square foot,
right.
I believe.
4 by 8.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why she's here.
Mrs. Clark, I do have one question.
Yes.
You heard the recommendations from planning and zoning for the conditions. Do you agree to those conditions?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
The conversation at the public hearing was based on either 3 or 4 monuments for display purposes, because she sells basically from her catalog, and she just uses those. They sort of attract attention more than people stop and look at them, I'm sure.
Yes, but I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll cause a problem.
No.
No, it shouldn't cause a problem.
Been there for a long time.
Any other?
Yes.
Any
yes.
Questions from the commission, or I mean from the council? Do you have anything further to add, Mrs. Clark?
No, I don't.
Okay. Is there anyone here? You can take a seat. Is there anyone here? You can take a seat.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anyone here to speak in support of the application? Is there anyone here in opposition to the application? Hearing none, Mr. Vincent.
Okay, if there's any, if there's no questioned, we will close the public hearing and ask you to read the heading.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for monument sales and display to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 1.2 acres more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance with the suggested conditions.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt CU 1887 with the recommendation and conditions. Any questions on the motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes. I think the location is excellent for the business, and I agree with the findings that planning and zoning have, and with the conditions that they have asked for.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. It's had a history of being at that location for many years and never has seemed to cause a problem, so I'll vote yes with the conditions.
Mr. Phillips.
It is an appropriate use as evident by its historical use. I'll vote yes with the conditions.
Wilson.
I vote yes with the P&Z's recommendations.
It certainly has been in existence for quite a period of time, and it does seem to make sense in the area. I agree also with the findings of planning and zoning and their conditions. I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Next,
thank you, Mr. Clark.
Next, we have conditional use 1888 filed on behalf of Michael Henderson. Mr. Lang?
Yes, this is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district for a marine service and boat storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Big Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 6.81 acres, more or less, lying northwest of Road 305, also known as Hollyville Road, across from Road 306, also known as Indian Bay Road. This application was reviewed through public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission on April 14th. The commission did receive a copy of the survey of the property, which depicts the location of the dwelling and the proposed location of the boat storage area. We did receive comments from DLDOT. They did not ask for a traffic impact study. The current level of service B of Hollyville Road will not change as a result of this application. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. This site is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service. Michael Henderson was present on behalf of his application and gave testimony. Victoria Eastburn was present in opposition to the application and expressed concerns about waste oils, fluids, wash water for boat washing, and possible impacts on well water. She also referenced the number of school buses that travel this road and turn around in front of the driveway, and that the runoff from the site naturally runs to the ditch behind her property. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration and to leave the record open to allow counsel to research the deed restrictions and to report back to the commission with his findings. On April 28th of 2011, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Robertson advised the commission during the discussion on conditional use 1886, which was a previous application, that he has reviewed the deed restrictions for both conditional use 1886 and this application, and that restriction number 4 references that no commercial activity can be engaged in except for an in-home office and only then with the approval of all governmental agencies that regulate same. And that paragraph also prohibited the storing or working on stock cars or race cars. That restriction number 2 references that the property shall not be subdivided and that the commission should move cautiously when deed restrictions exist. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of this application based on restrictive covenants that prohibit commercial uses on this parcel. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Again, I received a memorandum from the Sussex Conservation District. It was received on April 19th of 2011. This site, there were two soil types. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation. There are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected. It was not necessary for any off-site drainage improvements. It's possible that there may be some necessity for on-site drainage improvements, depending on the amount of disturbance. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay, thank you. Is the applicant present?
Good afternoon. Michael Henderson, 24530 Hollyville Road.
Can you tell us about the application and what you're doing and why you applied?
We moved down, started engine service. I checked with planning zone in the beginning. I was advised that I found out the information was a little bit wrong. It was there for mostly home-based business service-wise. We did some service there. Most of it was on the road. A couple years ago, we decided to open a retail location on Long Neck Road, which is M&M Marine Supply. That's where we drive all of our retail customers because we don't do retail sales at the service. We just wanted to do some service. This past year, we started adding a little bit of boat storage, and that's when we got a violation in the mail that we were operating with the storage and service and the sign we had, which was a small sign at the end of the driveway marking the property. So came in for the conditional use. I knew the property wasn't allowed to be subdivided, but we never saw anything in regards to the commercial restriction until the county the meeting, planning and zoning. We have maybe at most 5 customers show up a week, mostly if I'm bringing a boat back or I'm heading out on the road to do the service work. So there's not a lot of traffic coming down the street, and so forth. In regards to the objection we had in the previous one, it was, you know, we contain everything that we run our engines in is in a drum, that we keep all contaminants contained, and we work with FCC Environmental, who come out and pump out our drums when we're through a change out. So, and we use biodegradable soap, so no waste or oils or anything that you wouldn't already use is going into the ground. As our well is only about 40 feet from where we do the service, we take all means necessary to make sure we are not contaminating the supply that we also drink out of. So,
what is another situation where we can't?
Well,
because of deed restriction, or?
Yep.
Yeah, you have the same restrictions as you had on the prior application, two applications.
This is the same. Must be the same.
Yeah.
Development or whatever.
This is number 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to
go, 1 and 5.
The difficulty we see in the office a lot, or I won't say a lot, but quite often. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Mr. Henderson's deed, the only thing that makes reference to deed restrictions, sometimes this is on deed and doesn't even reference any deed restrictions, says subject to any and all restrictions, reservations, conditions, easements, and agreements or record in the officer recorder deeds and enforce us at county. It doesn't give us a number of where it would be found. So then by doing a title, just a quick title search, tracking deeds backwards, we went to the previous owner's name, who's your seller, who you purchased from, and their deed makes reference subject to restriction of record with a deed book and page number. Now, why the one attorney didn't include that, it would have been easier and we would have been able to see it up front. So we didn't see either one of them. They're both the same way.
Yeah.
But we could have picked it up early if we'd have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watch his attorney sometimes.
Once in a while, when I do the introduction of the ordinance for introduction to council, I'll see it then and I'll be able to say, well, we got a problem. We got to fix this before you can go forward. So.
Yeah, who would think that?
And then we went back and got the other deed and it's basically the same as.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the same problem.
You are aware of your deed restrictions when you bought your property, right?
No.
You didn't know you had deed restrictions.
We knew we had deed restrictions. That's how I knew. That's how I knew about the subdivide when we had went through to.
I mean, you knew when you bought it that there was no commercial activity permitted.
No, I didn't. I actually asked that to our real estate
What he said he knew
when we bought it,
they couldn't subdivide.
Yeah, when we bought it, I had stated that we were going to be operating a service. And he said, "Oh, it's no big deal. There's no restriction. You just got to go apply for a conditional use."
Okay.
And I knew it, we couldn't subdivide, but I knew nothing about
the commercial.
Next time
you buy a property and it references restrictions, better read what they are.
Yeah, apparently there was a lot more homework to be done.
Well, what we did, we copied the one page, and there's actually 9 restrictions.
Okay.
Well, that leaves 3 for you guys to go chase down.
Yeah.
And one was stated by Mr. Edgins, which was the 15-foot buffer tree shall be maintained because of the piece in the rear of your property is wooded. So that's the reason that was just to be left alone to separate the bigger parcels from the subdivision to the rear, which is that Fieldwood Farms, I believe I referenced earlier.
Did people in Fieldwood Farms get notified of the application?
Yeah, anybody within 200 foot gets a courtesy notice.
Okay. We can go ahead with the hearing and then discuss. Anyone here in support of this application?
That's right.
Hard to believe.
I think y'all know. Clarence Edgins.
Well, you have to come up here.
Better come on down. How come he wasn't in support of yours?
No, I know.
You know, listen, you need to have a talk to that man on
the
way
out. I have talked to him, that's right. No. Naturally, I would come up here in support, and we will work together to get this taken care of.
State your name for the.
My name is Clarence Edgins from 24436 Hollyville Road. I guess lot number 1 in support of lot number 5 business, I guess, commercial use, and have no problems with that. And we'll work together to get this squared away.
Sounds like they got 40% of the of the residents in that subdivision already.
Okay. Thank you all.
Anyone else in support of the application?
At least we have one supporter.
That's right.
Is there anyone here in opposition to the application? Seeing none, Mr. Vincent.
Okay, I guess we can close the public hearing and leave the record open for written comment.
For the same reasons as we had stated before, exactly the same reasons.
For CU 1886, the same exact thing.
To leave the record open for 90 days for receipt of written comments, either pro or con, on the restrictive covenants.
Any question on that motion?
And what we mean, like I think David referenced, we better have something official looking, not just a little note saying, you know, we agree that there needs to be a change, right?
To make it legal, there has to be a document in recordable form that can be taken downstairs and recorded with the recorder of deeds.
Are we asking that it be recorded? I mean, before we...
When you act on it.
Mm-hmm. You can act on it without them going to the expense of recording it.
Okay.
But you could make it a condition that it be recorded.
Okay.
Right. It's got to be recorded for them to change. We got to change the restrictions. Otherwise, they're still stuck with deed restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We have a motion.
Make a motion, Mrs. Deaver.
I'll make that motion that Mr. Lank just read.
And a second.
Yes.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried.
Thank you. That concludes the public hearing on applications. There is one more public hearing, and this is a public hearing on an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 1, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 11, 11A, 12, 13, 14, 15, 25, and Article 26 relating to wind turbine and windmills in Sussex County.
This ordinance was introduced to Council on March 15th of 2011 for purpose of public hearing. And it's short. I'll just read what the commission's discussed. Mr. Robertson summarized the proposed ordinance amendment that establishes regulations for wind turbines in the county as the state of Delaware has by statute, eliminating the role of the Board of Adjustment in the process of approving wind turbines, and added that there is a definition of wind turbine and windmill for inclusion in the zoning ordinance, that the ordinance takes out all references to windmills under special use exceptions, since that would require Board of Adjustment review and places a reference in permitted accessory uses, that a new section for wind turbines is placed in the code to deal with the setbacks and heights of requested wind turbines, that the setbacks are based on the height of the turbine and the length of one blade above the turbine, that this ordinance amendment would govern wind turbines in the county along with any other requirements spelled out in the Delaware code, that the ordinance does not address noise decibels since DENREC already regulates noises, and that this ordinance amendment brings the county code into compliance with the Delaware code. I also advise the commission that as of that date of the 14th, we have not received any written comments for or against the proposed ordinance by any agency or individual. We found that there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the ordinance amendment, and the commission, at the conclusion of the public hearings, discussed the ordinance amendment. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward us a recommendation to the council with it that the ordinance amendment be approved as presented. That motion carried 5-0. And I've still not received any additional comments, whether written or otherwise, from an agency or individual since the 14th.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in support of the proposed ordinance concerning wind turbines and windmills?
Nope, there he comes.
From business.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, Greg Minosh, 25732 Dagsboro, Delaware, Timmins Lane, I'm sorry. I always get a little nervous sitting in front of all you guys, but I am a business. I've been here before. I think the last time I was here was back in August. I spoke to you. And unfortunately, from what Mr. Lank just said, I really didn't know. I've been trying to keep up with Mr. Howard, Howe, about what has been transposing in terms of what was being written and talked about, but I hadn't received, and certainly probably an error in my fault in not checking with he or anyone else in terms of what the Mr. Roberts or anyone had put up, I guess, for public forum and debate.
Did you copy?
No, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And without taking your time and sitting and looking at this thing, obviously, anything, my business has come to a standstill since last July. I've got lots of people that are interested in waiting. So I'm hoping this is positive for my business and the other six businesses in Sussex County that are really being affected by this, that it'll help comply with what the state had adopted in their Delaware code. And I hope that it's very beneficial. Outside of this, and this is really a question, is today to adopt what has actually been proposed and set into county code?
Could be.
It could be adopted, yes.
So it's not quite completed yet, that if there's anything that I see any concern with, that I could write to you or Mr. Howe and have something added? Is it too late?
It's up to council. So if you need to state what you think you might have a concern about, unless they defer for written comment or something of that nature.
I really don't know yet without reading this. I'll just have to read it, I guess, and I can email Mr. Phillips, since he's in my district, and Mr. Howe, and I guess email you back, Mr. Lang, about what might be of concern. I'm just hoping, again, that it's something that's beneficial to me, my businesses, the other Sussex County businesses, and certainly the customers in the county that are really excited about having something that reduces their electric bill. So I thank you for taking your time and looking this over, and I shall try to read it and get back with you.
We even had the possibility of adopting it today.
Okay.
I mean, there is that. We weren't. I don't know where the rest of the council was thinking, but to defer on it again, we could. But
The biggest thing really has been the 5-acre limitation.
Well, that's gone.
So that's gone, and then it really comes down to just setbacks. So acreage is totally wiped out of the policy.
The setbacks issue becomes the height of the tower plus the length of one blade.
That's it.
Above the tower.
Then you have to be...
And your setbacks have to meet that requirement.
Right.
So if you had a 100-foot tower and a 10-foot blade, then you'd be 110. You had to be 110 from any property line.
From any property line. Well, that would be great, because most times it certainly allows comfort from the neighbors that if anything were to happen, it's not going to fall on their land. It's going to fall on the owner's land. And it certainly makes, obviously, the larger and taller the tower, the more... open space they need and further away that it is. So those were the two issues that most people had issues with. So,
Lawrence, why don't you read off, what is it on page, where section 18, where it says the regulations are supplementary, like it says, wet turn A, the following regulations shall apply.
Let me just run through it real quick.
Yeah, real quick, you could do it, and then you could comment on any of them, because there's only a few.
But the first section makes reference to listing under permitted accessory. Well, first thing we did was define a wind turbine. Okay, that's pretty standard. The second, on the first page, the second section makes reference to deleting windmills and wind power generators and replacing that and by inserting in lieu thereof a wind turbine which meets the code requirements 115-1944, the permitted use. It just references where to look it up. And then for the rest, pretty much the rest of it does also. And then the second page is pretty well where we delete the Board of Adjustment special use exception process out. That's pretty much the gist of that page, at least the top part. Then we go to adding a new 115-1944 wind turbine reference, and it makes reference to the accessory use that only one wind turbine shall be allowed per lot. And very seldom do you have any more than that, unless it's an industrial site. Any wind turbine shall be set back a minimum distance equal to the turbine height from each adjoining property. And turbine height means the height of the tower plus one blade. So as we said, if it's a 100-foot tower with a 10-foot blade, it's 110-foot setback from any property line. And then there's height restrictions stated in 115-179A, which would be referenced. Turbine shall comply with airport hazard zoning requirements. There's only two areas in the whole county that have a airport hazard zoning regulations. That would be the county airport and the area around it, and also the Laurel Airport over in Laurel, which is a small airport. It's very limited how much space that impacts. Then it makes reference to wind turbines shall be assembled, installed, and maintained in accordance with manufacturer's instructions. So since our inspectors are going out to do an inspection, most likely they're going to ask you to prove that you've built it to code of the manufacturer, because there isn't any code within the county other
sure.
than that.
That's no problem.
That's no problem, I'm sure.
No, sir.
The owner of the wind turbine shall completely remove all above ground structures within 12 months after the turbine is no longer in use. Otherwise, it becomes an eyesore, so it's a matter of taking it down. A wind turbine that is not attached to a building shall not be climbable for at least the first 12 feet above the ground level, unless it's surrounded by a fence, minimum height of 6 foot, similar to a cell tower site. And then it shall have appropriate lighting pursuant to a certain section of the code, which is similar to cell towers. And the purpose of those are for purpose of aviation in most cases. That makes reference to, then it makes reference to B, shall apply to one or more turbines for a total turbine height of greater than 100 feet but less than 200 feet, or where two or more windmills are proposed of less than 100 feet turbine height for non-residential use. So that's where you have permitted in commercial districts.
Okay. Would agricultural, a lot of chicken farmers have asked me about putting up several to offset their electrical expenses. Is agricultural, would that they be allowed to also have multiple?
I'd have to look at that to make sure. That's a good question. But that wasn't even discussed. Mm-hmm.
And farmers got enough land.
Then you got basically the same information as under A. And then C does the same thing, except it gets into the industrial districts pretty much. And then you have a total 200-foot height or taller.
That word, one parcel.
Then you have this similar setback. It's just in industrial districts. So the industrial district would allow for, they allow for one or more. The commercial district allow for one or more. The residential basically says one. So
right.
If you had one on a chicken farm, would that be adequate enough to provide your power?
No, sir.
Sir.
No, you'd need multiples, especially if they could combine the wind with solar. That would certainly help. They've got plenty of roof space, but they've looked into and asked about, you know, how many they would need. There's lots of wind turbine technology is advancing just as quick as Apple is with the iPad. It's amazing, and they're now able to make more efficient, productive units in a smaller footprint. That helps in reducing more wind turbines, but what it's allowing is just, you know, a greater performance and efficiency in the one that they put up. So rather than maybe having three or four, they can now do two. But I would hate to maybe not address the agricultural community while we're already adopting something here.
Well, it's only one lot, like it's a farm, right?
Well, typically, that's the problem. I'd have to really go through from start to finish and probably talk to Patrick and see how we broke that out, because I don't see it clear.
That could be a good reason to then to
deferred.
Now we are getting a reason to. Thank you for bringing that up. See, aren't we glad
that's
we
new. That wasn't even discussed.
You could have been back in here and say, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And I might be missing it, but I don't remember that being discussed.
Well, that's the beauty I found in throwing a lot of good ideas out to some pretty wise people, as I usually don't see the same thing either.
Don't look at Sam Wilson when you say that.
Okay. How do you spell your last name?
Menoche, M-E-N-O-C-H-E.
Okay.
But I applaud you for making the changes that you have. I think they're very beneficial, and I thank you for your time. And do you need my phone number, sir?
Yes, please.
My cell phone, the best way to get a hold of me is 302-462-5251.
The one thing I would add is that the anyway, what I was going to say now is write the number down. I'm getting old.
Okay.
I just had.
Moving right along.
There's a reference to 5 acres in the industrial side. And there's also a reference to 5 acres in reference to the commercial piece. And we just need to figure out if the agricultural piece is a part of that. I just need to double check that.
That would come close to chicken houses. Those things would come very close to commercial as far as.
Yeah, but it's a zoning. It references zoning districts. So when you reference zoning districts, there's residential. Agriculture is a residential district, even though it's primarily agriculture.
I was going to say as far as.
Yeah. So I just need to look at that one issue. I need. If I can't work it out through the ordinance, I'll have to talk to Patrick and just see if that works out, how that works.
I see here on this thing here, sort of caught my eye, was Natural Resources want to regulate the noise.
They already do.
No, that's wrong. We didn't want to.
Huh?
We didn't want to. DENREC already has the jurisdiction.
Okay, they already wanted to regulate.
They already have the jurisdiction.
Now, we
didn't want to double dip and get involved.
That is only for the windmills, right?
Only for the windmills. And this issue, yeah, and this ordinance.
Well, I know that they could have had the other noise issue down to Harvest Center last year.
Oh, yeah.
The substation there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, anything else, sir?
No, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in support of the ordinance? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition? Hearing none, Mr. Vincent.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you do have a quick question, Lawrence. If we where it says about the they have a year to take the thing down if it's not in use, and if somebody chooses not to, is there a mechanism then that they go through the constable and do that kind of?
There really isn't, by the state law, there isn't any process to go through the Board of Adjustment. The only issue that's not addressed in the state law is height.
Okay, but how about here with our new ordinance, though? If I think, didn't we have in here
the removal portion?
No longer, within 12 months after the wind turbine was no longer used, generally, like the owner shall provide proof of operation or something. They should be completely removed. What if an owner chooses not to remove it? Is there a process for the county to enforce that?
We would have to establish that time frame that it was no longer in use, and in turn have the zoning inspector first and then the constable second.
So in other words, our standard county...
Standard process.
Okay, that's what I just want to know. Okay, thanks. We don't need to put it into...
Difficulty is establishing when that ceased to be in use.
Right. Well, somebody...
Well, that'd be difficult. Yeah. You're almost dependent on the complaint again because the neighbors would know when it wasn't being used, most likely.
Okay.
Is there anybody opposed to closing the public hearing?
Well, we do have to leave it open for additional comments from Mr. Lank, right? On agriculture.
Yeah, but we can close the hearing, but leave the comments open from Mr. Lank's response, right? That's what we're going to do.
How about from Mr. Menoche? He seemed like he could have some.
Why don't we leave the. Yeah. Dave, just clear this up.
Just leave it open.
Yeah, if you're going to be looking at it and possibly making some mandatory language or adding some language, you need to keep the record open.
Okay.
And if it got to something that was considered major, and we would have to go back to public hearing, you could still adopt what we already have and then go for an amendment.
Right.
Sometimes that's cleaner to do it that way.
A motion to leave the record open. Is that what we're looking at?
I would do it, maybe set a time frame.
How long? 5 years.
5 years. Record them for 5 years, and we'll deal with it. Okay.
I'm in favor of that.
Okay.
Second.
30 days.
I'll make a motion that we leave the record open for 90 days.
You already got a second, George. You got to come back and have that change. Get your board to second it.
We have a motion. We have a motion to leave the record open for 90 days for to take public comment.
For 90 days?
I don't know. That's a bit long.
I just said 90 days because I said it earlier today.
How about 2 weeks?
We do it 2 weeks if you want.
This man wants to go sell some windmills.
Why don't you make it 30 so we have a chance to work with the legal staff and make sure we got this.
Yeah,
that's right. 30
days. 90 a week.
Split the bill. I'll second the motion to make it 30 days, Mr. President.
Yeah, I'll second.
That's your motion, Mr. Cole, 30 days?
That will work. Yes, I'll
have
make
a motion and a second
days.
To leave the record open for 30 days.
Yep.
Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
There are no more hearings.
Entertained a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion and a second to adjourn. Any questions on the motion? One favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.